Welcome to the Friday, February 21st episode of Briefings with the Buzz. This is our 24th episode of the 2024-2025 school year. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff Butts, superintendent of the Metropolitan School District of Wayne Township. This weekly podcast is an important district communication tool for our staff, so thank you for carving out just about 10 minutes to listen each week to stay informed, connected, and most importantly, celebrate the incredible work we do and the difference we make in the lives of our students. Well, let's go ahead and jump right in. First, I'd like to congratulate this week's Briefings with Butts trivia winner, Doug Bradburn, who is a science teacher at Lyndhurst 7th and 8th grade center. Congratulations, Doug. You win a Jeans Day for yourself and for your team. It's been another great week in the MSD of Wayne Township. Thank you to everyone who has submitted their questions following last week's podcast about the 2025-2026 Late Start Mondays for staff development next year. We received a lot of great questions. Our plan is to develop an FAQ for staff and families that we will be sharing before spring break. Of course, it was a short week as we observed President's Day on Monday. I hope everyone enjoyed that extra day off. School board enjoyed a wonderful visit to Roby Elementary School, got to visit some classrooms and see some math in action. And this past Tuesday, highlights included Ms. Cameron's Thrive students taking orders and serving hot chocolate, as well as Mrs. Kale sharing the amazing things that are happening with literacy, exploring the media center with Mrs. West, and seeing our first grade math in action in Mrs. Witted and Ms. Kelly's classrooms. On Thursday, I had the privilege to attend the 10th annual, hard to believe, the 10th annual Dare to Dreams Award Ceremony. What an amazing, amazing event. It was so inspiring to honor these incredible individuals for their determination to rise above the challenges and to break barriers, alongside the dedicated supporters who helped make these accomplishments possible. It's a testament to the incredible potential that exists when we foster inclusive communities. We continue our acknowledgement of Black History Month. One more week left in Black History Month. Make sure to continue to check out the videos that are being posted about important Black Americans who are contributing throughout our history and have transformed our world and continue to light the path forward. And also, we've heard enough about this, but just wanted to reemphasize that we continue to work with our council and watch for additional guidance on the executive order on ending racial indoctrination in K-12 schooling that came out January 29th, signed by President Trump, along with the subsequent Dear Colleague letter that we've shared information about over the past week. We did have a chance to talk to the American Association of School Attorneys, as well as an attorney from Washington, D.C. just this week, so we continue to gather more information. We'll share that as it becomes available. And this is the halfway point, the 50-yard line of the 124th Indiana General Assembly. This week ended all of the third readings for bills in the House and the Senate. They will take next week off, and then we'll come back, and those bills will switch over to the other side of the State House. So we brought in our friend and an expert, somebody who's at the State House often advocating for urban schools. It is the executive director for the Indiana Urban Schools Association and Wayne Township resident and former Wayne Township employee, Dr. David Marcotte. Welcome, Dr. Marcotte.
Thank you, Dr. Butts.
So great to have you here. I called you in because you are spending a great deal of time working at the State House, advocating for urban children and for the issues that are important to our teachers and to the MSD of Wayne Township, along with all the other members of IUSA, and asked you to share just a few of the bills that are highlighted in this first half of the session.
Well, thank you very much for having me here, Dr. Butts, and I appreciate the time. Yes, I do spend a significant amount of time in my role as the executive director of the Urban Schools Association, advocating for our students, our teachers, and also trying to keep legislators honest. But I do have a few bills that I believe your teachers and staff members who will listen to this podcast will be interested in. Would you like me just to start?
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously we have some bills that deal with finances. That's always a concern of ours. We also have some bills that are looking at curriculum items and just some deregulation. Yeah. We have some bills that are talking about literacy. And which ones rise to the top for you?
Well, I have about four or five here I'd like to talk about before we talk about the budget.
Yeah.
Because when it's all said and done, it always ends up being about the budget.
Right.
So we have Senate Bill 287, which has passed the committee, and that's the partisan school board elections. Mm-hmm. Very contentious argument. We had
also important in your household is you are married to one of our board members. We might as well mention that too. Full disclosure.
She just started on the Wayne Township School Board. She's loving it. So yes, but lots of testimony, mostly against, some in favor, from school board members who said basically that school boards are already partisan, so mm-hmm. why shouldn't we put the R or the D behind names and moving these elections to primaries? Mm-hmm. The significant number of school board members and people like me testified against this, mm-hmm. that we need to try and keep politics and partisanship out of school boards. Several school board members said they've never had conversations with their colleagues on the school board about politics. It was always focused on educating children and what they were doing in their districts. So it's it did pass. This came up last year, mm-hmm. and it was defeated last year, so we'll see where this goes. But so far, this bill is still alive.
Well, one of the big arguments against that bill that I know has been heard is there's this belief that because you have an R or a D next to your name, all of a sudden it blankets your overall thinking about what you believe in politics and whether you lean right or left, or that R or D is going to help people to know what you believe in.
The amazing explanation that the authors of this bill said just that school board races are, no one knows how people stand and how mm-hmm. the candidates feel about certain issues, and that if you had an R or a D, then you would know their political leanings and their mm-hmm. moral values. Moral values?
Yeah.
That actually came up. And the argument against that was that people need to follow the candidates like any other election.
Right.
And don't just rely on a party affiliation to understand someone's political leanings. Because when it comes to the governing of school corporations, it shouldn't be an R or a D.
Right.
It should be about what's best for kids and teachers and the community.
Well, and selfishly, David, it seems logical that if a school board is leaning one way or another, more R's than D's, then they would also want their superintendent to be of the same political affiliation.
That's where it would end up. It is clearly obvious that that's exactly where they want employees to end up as well.
Yeah.
And you can take that all the way down to teachers.
Yeah.
Teachers and other employees being hired because of their political affiliation instead of the merit of their work is the wrong direction.
Pretty scary. Pretty scary. And that could change every 2 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there are some communities in Indiana, as you know, that if you put that R or a D, they will always get elected or always never get elected.
Right.
It just
right.
depends on your community, which is why it just doesn't make sense mm-hmm. to do that. In a lot of us in the education business would rather focus on the issues mm-hmm. of governing school corporations instead of relying on your political affiliation.
Yeah. So, what else?
Yeah, we have a couple other bills here to talk about. House Bill 1201 and Senate Bill 482. Both of them are student absenteeism bills. Our association supported the absenteeism bills. Any time that the legislator is getting involved in curbing chronic truancy and improving attendance, we will support.
Yeah.
Now, there's details involved that get a little bit complicated. But this bill is moving the required principal 5-day meeting with parents to 10 days.
That'll be helpful.
It'll be very helpful to your administrators for sure. And one of the pieces of this bill that we wanted to change is that currently the language is that the prosecuting office may hold a conference with parents before they end up being considered chronically truant.
Mm-hmm.
And my testimony said we should require that.
Yeah.
Now, I realize in urban areas like Indianapolis and other large cities, Fort Wayne, Evansville, that could be problematic because the prosecuting office is very busy.
Sure.
Like we all are. But
and we have a significant population of students.
That's right. But if you're going to really have meat into this, mm-hmm. we need help.
Yeah.
It can't just be on the teachers' and principals' backs or the superintendent's back mm-hmm. about coming to school.
Yeah.
Coming to school every day and coming on time.
Right.
We need to have more help. And you have help if the prosecutor office is involved.
Absolutely.
So that's where we stood on that one. Another bill that is interesting is House Bill 1634. It kind of mirrors what we did with literacy last session. It's now on math education. I think your teachers who are listening here would be very interested in this bill and it has already passed the House Education Committee.
Just don't call it the science of math. That's what I keep hearing. Do not call it the science of math.
You know, once you put a label on things, it just kind of makes it messy,
doesn't it?
But this requires all public schools must provide a math screener in grades K through 2, basically like we do with literacy.
Yep.
And now what's not clear is who's going to pay for this.
Sure.
It's always
yep.
a topic.
Yep.
But here's one that's really novel, and that is that in middle school in grades 6, 7, and 8, students shall, not may, shall automatically enroll in an advanced math course if they scored proficient on the iLearn in grades 5, 6, and 7.
Huh.
So we're going to force students into a much more rigorous math course at the middle level. And if they earned a C in the previous course. Now, there is a parent opt-out provision to this bill.
Advanced level math being algebra or something?
Whatever the next level
would be.
Because we're talking grade 6, 7, and 8. So
yes.
if you're in grade 6 and the next level would be 7th grade algebra, then that's what they're doing.
Okay.
Or instead of not going into algebra, you would go into some other course,
yeah.
But they're requiring you to move forward. And I understand the concept of this. We're just trying to move students further along in taking more rigorous math courses.
1634, definitely one to keep our eye on.
Yes. Now, one that teachers would be very interested in also is House Bill 1500. This is changing the way teachers will be evaluated, and it also is changing the teacher appreciation grants.
Mm.
I can't emphasize enough that every teacher listening to this needs to look at House Bill 1500. And it's doing away with the current teacher evaluation process. It requires the Department of Education to create a new process. And instead of the four categories that currently exist in our evaluation system, it's going to move it to three. And the way that you can earn a TAG grant is to be evaluated into the first category, which is called recognized. And that is a teacher who demonstrates high performance based on student outcomes. And that has a $3,000 to $5,000 stipend attached to it. The second level is called exemplary. You have to do the same as the recognized, but you include that you must mentor a colleague teacher, and that has a $5,000 to $7,500 stipend attached. And then the top level is a master teacher, which you have to do both the high-performing as a teacher, mentor colleagues, and also provide instructional leadership across multiple classrooms. And that has a stipend of $7,500 to $10,000.
Wow.
Now, that sounds great.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds really great. But they're not increasing the funding. It's still $37.5 million for the teacher appreciation grant. Some of the authors of this think not very many teachers would be placed in this category. But what I testified on was that the mentor program years ago worked.
Yes.
As a principal here in Wayne Township, I relied on my veteran teachers to mentor the new teachers, and they were paid about $600, I believe, back in those days.
Yep, absolutely.
It worked. It was a great program, and most of our new teachers have unofficial mentors.
We always latch
onto your colleagues, and you might even have a more organized mentor program here. But the dollar amounts attached here look great.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of money, but I don't think this is how it's really going to work out. And the other provision of this bill is that if a teacher receives these teacher appreciation grants 2 years in a row, it automatically gets placed on the base of their salary, which has tremendous impact for bargaining teacher salaries, and it would make things much more complicated. But
and I think creates an opportunity for people to say, well, that's fine. Nobody's going to get it 2 years in a row, right?
Sure.
We'll just do it every other year.
Yeah. Yes.
And so there's all kinds of concerns here. Obviously, this bill, and so talking a little bit about how bills work and how things are prioritized at the State House, this bill was actually authored by the chair of the House Education Committee, Representative Boehning, who happens to be a Ben Davis High School graduate and alumnus. And then it's sponsored in the Senate by Senator Rotz, who chairs the Education and Career Committee in the Senate. So we know that they're the ones that call the bills into committee, they're the ones that hear the bills into committee, and they're the ones that send them across to the other side. And so we know that this is a priority for them because both the chairs are authoring and sponsoring this bill.
That's correct. That's correct. There's power behind this.
Yeah.
So this is probably going to move unless we can successfully communicate with the entire House and the Senate that there's a lot of problems that are associated with this kind of concept. Now, again, I'm not opposed to the concept of changing it to three categories: recognized, exemplary, and master. But I think we need to be cautious because there are many school districts around the state that wouldn't be able to afford guaranteeing these in the base salary of teachers.
Yeah.
It'd be great if we could, but now you're impacting the budget, which you sometimes don't have a lot of control over.
Right. So let's talk about, I mentioned that we're at the 50-yard line. Yes. This is the halfway through the session. We know that after next week, which is a week they're going to take off, that we're going to move the bills to the other side, over to either the Senate or the House, and then that's an opportunity to get those bills changed. That's still an opportunity to debate the language of the bills and to make modifications before it goes back to the original author, right?
That's correct. That's correct. The committees, the education committees in the House will then now be dealing with the bills that were passed in the Senate Education Committee, and vice versa. The House will be debating the bills that passed the other chamber, and amendments can be presented.
Yeah,
they can be passed, and then when that occurs, you go back to the original author, and if they say, "Yep, that sounds good to me," then it moves on to the final
to the floor, right?
To the floor.
Yep.
But the original author can say, "No, we need to talk about this a little bit. That wasn't the intent of my bill."
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's called conference committee.
Yep.
And so the author and several folks get together in a room, and they talk about it.
Yep.
And they come to an agreement, and if they agree on things, then that version of the bill goes to the floor.
Yeah. Well, I know we could talk about this for another half hour, and there's a ton of bills out there that are important. Want to make mention that as executive director of IUSA, you work directly with Justin Swanson at Bose Public Affairs, one of the newsletters that we forward each week to our staff. So staff, make sure to continue to watch those. Also, the summaries that come out. And even though a bill may be dead in this first half, some of that language may reappear as the bills move over to the other side. So we're going to keep a close eye on that. Dr. David Marcotte, Executive Director of the Urban Schools Association, thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for sharing your expertise and for advocating down at the State House for all of our children.
Well, thanks for having me.
Coming up tomorrow, Wayne Winter Games, Giant Health Fair, the Blood Drive, and the Giant Mile from 9:30 until noon. Make sure to go in Ben Davis High School, door number 2. There'll be bicycle smoothies, soccer, bowling, CPR, all kinds of great things happening, and several of our dance groups from our elementary schools will be highlighting all of their dances. Prizes will be awarded throughout the day. Students, make sure to fill up their passports and receive a medal. And if you walk the Giant Mile, there is an insulated water bottle at the end for you. Also, good luck to our boys basketball team in tonight's away game at Broad Ripple High School, where they will take on Cathedral. Well, that's it for this week. Be sure to tune in for our next episode for the latest on what's happening in the MSD of Wayne Township. But before we wrap up this episode, I want to end with our mission and our vision. It's the reason why we're here. Our mission, to activate and accelerate student learning. And our vision, to develop great people. Thank you for the impact you make each and every day. And remember, I am Wayne, you are Wayne, we are Wayne. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.